this morning to Mountain View. I'm Joanne Joslin. I'm just going to point out a few things out of your bulletin. There are so many things because of the upcoming Advent season, but I'll just mention a couple. Christmas choir rehearsals. I'm sure you'd like to join us in the choir for the Christmas season, and that information is in your bulletin. We need scarves, hats, and mittens. Please work on those and bring those next Sunday. You'll notice outside the UMW are delivering their nuts and snack mixes. If you ordered something, please pick them up. And there are a few extras that you might want. The Advent Marketplace is December 2nd, but mostly next Sunday we have the Hanging of the Greens on November 25th after worship, so plan to stay around and help decorate our sanctuary. And now I'd like to introduce Paula Derryberry, who will give us an update on our finance campaign.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Paula Derryberry, and I am the Church Council Chairman for 2018 and also coming into 2019. And in the spirit of the season, I want to let you know how thankful I am and our church council is for your very thoughtful comments, questions, and concerns that you were able to put down on the cards last week, a couple weeks ago. Last week I couldn't get here because of the snow. But anyway, we took those cards and went on during the church council meeting the next Tuesday to vote on and approve a budget that was a hybrid of basically model number 2 and number 3 that we discussed. And church budgets always involve a fair amount of guesswork. So our 2019 budget plans for roughly $595,000 in operating expenses and principal bond payments has been approved. And that amounts to about $45,000 of estimated decrease from the 2018 budget, and represents a belt tightening across most of the budget areas, especially staff parish relations, which handles staffing. The church continues to receive very encouraging and unexpected pledges from the giving campaign. So thank you to everyone for your very heartfelt pledges. We know sometimes those decisions were not easy, and we appreciate it. The comments we received provided good suggestions and thoughtful questions about many church activities and programs, far too many to go into right now. We did receive a number of comments, though. There was overwhelming support for maintaining a strong youth and children's programs, and we do plan to continue that. Watch for an article in next month's Messenger that addresses many of the other general questions we received. A number of the suggestions will be or have been assigned to various committees for further study and possible action, and that will take some time to work through, so we ask your patience. In the meantime, if you have further thoughts or questions, please speak to any church council member or feel free to use our church council email, and that's very simply council@mtview.org. There will be more responses in the messenger from the different departments to your questions and comments as they work through them, but certainly anytime, feel free to use the email. Thank you for your love and support of Mountain View.
Thank you, Paula.
I want you to understand that there's not a single leader in this world that can do anything without your support, without your prayers, without your encouragement. And Paula and Bill and all of those who are leaders in our church have worked very hard, and I hope that you remember to be thankful for them sometime this week. All right. Would you rise and greet one another and discover who is new among us?
Hope you're doing well today. Wait patiently for the Lord, and he will hear.
He has drawn us up from desolation. He has rescued us from the mire and set our feet on the rock.
The Lord has put a new song in your mouth, a song of praise to our God. Blessed are they who trust in the Lord. You may be seated. Would all the children of the congregation come forward for their special time?
Okay, hey guys, how's it going? Good. So we've got a week off of school, right? Pretty exciting this week, right? A whole week off of school. So why do we have a week off of school? It's Thanksgiving this week. So we've been talking the last couple of weeks here in church about the word gratitude, right? And what does that word mean? That you're glad about something and that we're thankful about something. That's right. So we talked about how we can be thankful to our friends and our families every single day for even little bitty things they do for us, like when your parents make you dinner or if your friends share something with you, right? We can say thank you every single day for those little things. Then last week we talked about how we can be thankful to God and how we can be more thanks-living instead of thanksgiving, and by telling God that we're thankful for the blessings he gives us by being a blessing to others, right? And being kind and helpful and good, how we do thanks-living. And so now we're here. We're here to this day. We get to celebrate Thanksgiving on Thursday with our families and our friends. We get to eat a lot of food and maybe watch some football and just hang out with our families, right? Yeah, it's a good day to be together. So I want everybody to think about something that you're grateful for, something that you're really going to say, I am so grateful for that this year. I'm going to start. I want you guys to look at this church here and all around you. I am thankful for this church. Do you guys know why? Because this church has given me a ton. Did you guys know, I want you to look over there at our spirit singers, Emily and Annie and Abby, I was not much bigger than they were when I first came to this church. Did you guys know that? I came here as a teenager myself, and I was a youth person here. I got to come back and be a parent. I get to come here and work with you guys every single week. So this church has given me friendships, has given me people I care about and who have cared about me for many, many years, and has given me the opportunity to hang out with all of you and get to know you guys even better, right? And I am so thankful that I have this church to let me do that. What about you guys? Anybody have something they're thankful for they want to share? Annie, Julia, sorry, you are thankful for your house. Our houses do lots of awesome things for us, don't they? They keep us warm. They help us be together as a family. We get to have some pretty cool things in our house. Very good. We can be thankful for our houses. What else, Jameson? Thankful for our family. Our families do so much for us, don't they? They love us always. They help us out when we need them. They laugh with us when we're happy, right? Families are a good thing to be thankful for. What else, Walker? Thankful for living. We are thankful every day we wake up and we take a breath, right? Every day brings us new adventures and new challenges to be thankful for. Nice, Walker. Anybody else? Well, you guys can think this week about all those things you're thankful for. And I want you to remember that Thanksgiving is Thursday, and we can be thankful for all these awesome things, but can we be thankful on other days besides Thanksgiving? Yeah. So this week, think about all those things and then try to remember for every single day to say, I am thankful for so much, right? We have so much to be thankful for. Can we say a prayer? Can we put your hands together? Say, hey, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us so much.
Thank you for giving us so much.
And thank you for allowing us, to say thank you. We love you, God. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.
Don't forget your popcorn. That's a great entree for us to share our joys and concerns together. I want to remember that to tell you that we have gratitude slips out in the narthex as you leave to take a gratitude slip. Four colors, four different things that you might be grateful for. Pick one. Collect all four, right? And practice that spiritual practice of being grateful, right? That's our effort through November, to practice our gratitude. Under joys and concerns, we learned this morning that Desiree Williams will have her planned surgery on Tuesday at 11:15 in the morning. She'll be taking guests by Thursday, but the surgery will be Tuesday. Kelsey Hill continues to need our prayers. Ryan Schmitz, an adult child of one of our members, had urgent surgery on Tuesday and did just fine. So prayers of Ryan. He's in El Paso. His parents are there looking after him. Sharon is to have cataract surgery here in the near future, and so prayers for Sharon, continued support for her. Ann Evans, one of our senior members, took a fall and has a compression fracture in her hand, I think it's this hand, but she's in healthcare and doing just fine, thank you, over at Fraser Meadows. young man who is the boyfriend for Rachel De La Vega. Noah is from Hungary, the country of. Yes, he is always hungry, but he's from Hungary. And this will be his first American Thanksgiving at their family. Can you imagine? What a riot. Almost 30 people coming to their house for Thanksgiving. What joys or concerns would you like to lift up today? In addition, Brian Dufresne is with us today playing at our organ. Brian, welcome.
I'm glad. Is that a concern or a joy?
It is a it is a delight, Brian. And yes, I'll give you popcorn. Okay. What people will do for popcorn these days. Yeah. We are certainly mindful of those folks who've lost their homes in the California wildfires. I understand more than 10,000 homes have been destroyed. So you think about all of those families at Thanksgiving not having a place. Prayers of love and support for the first responders in that state and all around the world who care for those in trauma. Joys and concerns?
My mother-in-law, Linda Fluelling, got out of the cardiac hospital after her heart attack last week, and she's now in a rehabilitation home. Okay.
Linda Fluelling, recovering from a heart attack. Coronary care unit and is now currently in rehab for her heart, which means lots of sweat and equity, right? A lot of exercise. Who else? Joys or concerns? Yeah.
Just a joy of all the support I've received this week. Thank you from everyone for the meals, for sitting the kids so I can run into work for a few hours. It's been great while Desiree's been ill, and we both appreciate everything that you guys have done.
Appreciative of all the support he's received from the church family while Desiree's been laid up in the hospital. Her folks or your folks came? Your folks came last night, 1 o'clock in the morning is when they arrived. And I know you're grateful to them. All right. Grandma and Grandpa. Others? Yes. Sue? Prayers for her sister Donna, who's going through some medical issues. Prayers of love and support. Where does she live? In Oklahoma. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, Margaret. Prayers of thanksgiving for Valerie, who comes to church with you every Sunday. Val has decided to become a member. We're going to receive members next week. If you happen to miss, because of the storm last week, our launch with the pastor, you can still come and be a part of Mountain View. We're going to receive new members next week. Just make sure we know so we can get you a shepherd, so you don't have to stand up here by your lonesome. Okay? If you're interested in doing that, just let me know, and we'll get it all set up. And yes, prayers for our lowly CU Buffaloes who play in the snow. And that's just how it goes. Okay. Joy for the girls' cross-country team. We spent the week in Boston with our son and his best girl, and it's such a delight to see young people build lives to make a difference in the world. She is a nurse practitioner. He is in physician's assistant school. And, you know, life doesn't happen by accident. You make choices. You build a life. You build a life. And they're doing that, and we're so grateful to see the life that they are building. They're making us very, very proud indeed. Others? All right, we'll start by our community prayer, which is printed for you in the bulletin and also on the screens. Let us pray together as a community. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for food and remember the hungry. We thank Thee for health and remember the sick. We thank Thee for friends and remember the friendless. We thank Thee for freedom and remember the enslaved. May these remembrances stir us to service, that Thy gifts to us may be used for others through Jesus Christ. Amen. Cast all your anxieties on God, for God cares about you. Hear ye, laborers for the Lord, for your rest is assured in our Lord Jesus Christ. From labor and from emotional and spiritual anguish, rest. God cares about you. Your pardon is complete. Please close your eyes with me in silent prayer. So much of our life, Lord, seems to be a rush around job, a hurry up and catch up and muster the strength for a new day. But we ask you, Lord, to guide and strengthen us, to give us in this time of worship a moment of peace. Peace, Lord, where we would surrender our struggles for a little while to you. For we don't struggle against you, O God, but against a life that would swallow us whole. Thank you, Lord, for anniversaries and birthdays, for celebrations, and for hearts that remember the poor and dispossessed of this land and of the world. Please, God, let us never forget our brother and sister who is hungry. And let us, as we celebrate, recognize how grateful we are, how blessed that you, Lord, would continue to watch over us, that we would bless in your name. Through Jesus Christ, we pray these things. As we pray as he taught us, together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As your ushers come forward to receive our tithes and offerings, we still are accepting 2019 pledge cards. Those are available for you in the pew pockets before you. We have 47 outstanding pledges, and the amount we need to complete the budget at two personnel is very close. So nobody can give all of that money, but all of us together might be able to budge the needle, so to speak. So if you haven't returned your pledge card, this is a great opportunity to do so. And our ushers will receive our offerings as we hear our spirit singers sing today. For the gifts we have received, O God, we thank you. We're mindful of saying thanks, but also living thanks each and every day. We pray your blessing upon us, that we might be a blessing to others In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. Would you be seated for a moment? I want to share with you an idea for spiritual practice as we go forward. Remember, the gratitude slips are available for you as you leave the sanctuary in the narthex. But specifically for Thanksgiving Day, who here has a practice of saying a prayer before the meal? Right? Perhaps in your family, as in mine, it's a very special prayer, even if you don't say prayers as we do at every meal. I imagine that most families take a moment to say thanks to God in a Thanksgiving prayer each Thanksgiving, Thursday. Whatever your plan is, whatever's on the menu, whatever your experience is, I'm challenging you to figure out a way, if it's not already part of your practice, to do something that lifts that into the conversation. I don't know where when my father began to do this, but it has become his tradition. My mother does the mashed potatoes and my dad does the prayer. But before he offers the prayer or asks one of us to do that, he asks each person in the household who's there gathered around the table for Thanksgiving to say one thing for which they're grateful. Youngest to oldest, one thing for which you're grateful. In fact, at that time, college-age nephew even expressed gratitude for Peyton Manning's giant football brain. So no holds barred on this. You can say whatever it is you're thankful for. It's you know, age-appropriate, right down the level, and whatever you think you should be grateful for. That's a practice. That's a practice of spirituality, however you want to set it up. Maybe you have the youngest person in the family offer the prayer, the youngest that's able. Maybe you have the oldest person at the table share a memory and say the prayer for gratitude. Maybe you ask the clergy person in your family not to say the prayer because they get to do it all the time and you're jealous, right? I don't know. Whatever your practice is, your spiritual challenge this week is to find a way to invite people to be grateful at the Thanksgiving meal, all right? And by practicing those spiritual practices, we fill with God's grace and move ministry forward in our lives and in those around us.
Our scripture today is from Matthew. I'm going to begin with verse 24 of Matthew 6. It's in the Bible on page 787 and 8. Let's begin with a spiritual meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. When the Spirit Singers were up front here singing, I was reminded as a teenager, reminded myself today as a teenager, how those were more than just entertaining for my parents. The messages, the musical messages that I received help undergird me in the midst of high school and difficult days in junior high school. And the messages that we receive in our music speaks at a deeper level, perhaps, than anything the preacher might say. It is a remarkable way that God touches our hearts and minds, both young and old, to hear words of hope and promise that are repeated in music throughout the week. Would you pray with me? Help us to be grateful, God. Help us to remember to give thanks. Help us not to forget the little things that you would put before us and ask us to sing your praises. Help us in the little things to say thank you, so that in the big things we know where we have been blessed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It seems the lady was at the frozen turkey aisle at the grocery store. I'm sure that all of you might recognize that if you're going to get a turkey and it's frozen, you're going to buy it today, you need to leave it out for a couple of days before Thanksgiving so it'll thaw out, right? Otherwise, it ends up being a little frozen in the middle. This is the voice of experience. I just thought I'd let you know that it's important to kind of take the bird out and let it have, a walk around, a bit of a chance in the kitchen, you might put it in the fridge overnight, but during the day, let it thaw. Keep it away from the dog, and you should be fine by the end of the week, by Thursday. But this lady was in the grocery aisle picking through the turkey. She was going to have a large number of people at her table for Thanksgiving dinner. Let's have a contest here. Who's going to have more than 11? That's how many are coming to our house for Thanksgiving. Who's going to have more than 11? How many will you have? 13. Anybody? Can I have 14? 14. 14 wants 14. 14. Going to go down. 15. 15. 16. Sold to the man with a gray suit. How many do you think you'll have?
Well, we're going to my daughter's, and there'll be about 50.
50. Okay, you win the prize. You win the prize. It's over. She might have to have two turkeys for that one. Anyway, this woman was picking through the birds. She wasn't finding one big enough for the family that she was expecting. You know, you 8-pounders, 9-pounders. Well, that's fine if you have a small group, but 12, you know, that's okay. But 50, you're going to have more than one bird. I'm sorry, there's no way around it. So she asked the stock boy, "Do these turkeys get any bigger?" And the stock boy replied, "No, ma'am, they're already dead." They're not going to get any bigger. Friends, laughter can be an avenue for us into a grateful heart. When we laugh, not only does our voice open, not only does our chest expand, not only does our breath deepen, laughter can be an avenue toward gratitude. And sometimes I think we don't laugh nearly enough. There are other things, of course. When we served a parish in Pueblo some years back, I had the privilege of knowing Father Leo Bonfadini. Now, Father Leo Bonfadini was the quintessential Roman Catholic priest, a little bit older than I, but just such a wonderful spirit, just a wonderful man. This man was not just romantic and a dreamer and really a true scholar, well-trained, very well-trained scholar. Father Leo Bonfadini of the Catholic tradition was a Renaissance man and an actual genius. Have you met some actual geniuses in your life? They are so impressive. And they're not impressed with themselves. That's really the most impressive thing about a genius. We became good friends. And he was something I try to cultivate and emulate in my life. He was a person with a genuine and generous and grateful heart almost all the time, not just on Thanksgiving. That's one of the things that impressed me so much, not just his brilliance and intelligence, his genius, his generous heart drew other people to him. What a wonderful guy. Father Leo Bonfadini, perfect name for a Roman Catholic priest and a friend of mine. He was so talented, in fact, that he was asked to design the new sanctuary that they were building, even the stained glass windows in his church. He had some experience making stained glass. He did quite a bit of this on his own. I don't think he did all of the windows at the church. That would like be a full-time job, and already he was well employed. But every feature of that building had a theological reason behind it. Every window told a different story of the faith journey. Now, from the perspective of art and architecture, when it was finished, this sanctuary was nothing short of remarkable. It really reminded me then of the cathedrals in Europe that you walk into, if you've ever been, and the light shines in with a certain spirituality, a certain numismatic, not the collection of coins, but numinous, the Holy Spirit, was present in that space. Leo was a Renaissance man, and he designed these windows for a reason. And it was nothing short of remarkable. Shortly after the building was completed, Father Leo invited me to take a walking tour of the building and explained to me all of the features. He explained to me the stations of the cross. He explained to me the Catholic understanding of the sacraments. A good Protestant minister should know those. He still told me the story behind each of the stained glass windows, which were brilliant with light. And as we came to each one of the windows, he would describe what he had designed and what it meant to him to have each of them rendered into lead, solder, and colored glass, each one telling a significant story of the life of the parish. And then I noticed something. Why are these great sections here in the glass where they're not colored at all? They're clear glass in the windows. Was it to let more light into the building, I asked. Was it some sort of money-saving idea? I mean, I don't know. That's kind of a simpleton question to ask, right? And Leo said to me, no, the glass is left clear for a very specific reason. It wasn't for money and it wasn't for light per se. The glass was left clear to remind those of us who see the windows from the inside looking out with all the intense colors and all the deep beauty and all of the meaningful imagery that there will always be those who come from the outside to look in. And they will need to see what God is doing inside the church. Being thankful is our way of letting others see the light of God inside of us. Being thankful are the clear sections of the stained glass world in which we live to let others see into our hearts the beauty inside to be seen by those on the outside. Being thankful is an appreciation of others, of earthly beauty, of God's bounty, and it's a way of sharing blessings with those around us because there are some people who will never know the love of God or the light of God or the hope of God or the possibilities of God without you and I letting them see it. Daniel Defoe gave us some good advice through his fictitious character, Robinson Crusoe. The first thing that Robinson Crusoe does when he finds himself on a deserted island is to make a list. Now, don't ask me where he got the pen and paper. I don't know. But it's in the story that he makes a list. All of the difficult things, all the problems he has on one side of the list, and all of the blessings on the other side. On one side he wrote, I don't have any clothes. On the other side he wrote, but it's warm, and I don't really need any. On one side, he wrote, all the provisions were lost. On the other side, he wrote, but there's plenty of fresh fruit and water on the island. And on down the list he went. And so in this fashion, he discovered that for every negative aspect about his situation, there was also a positive aspect, something to be thankful for, that he was able to write down. It's easy for us to find ourselves on an island of despair. And yet, perhaps it's time we sit down and take an inventory of our blessings. If we get overwhelmed by the negativity of life, if we get overwhelmed by the things that aren't going our way, it's very likely possible that we'll miss
the blessings that God has in store for us. And I imagine there are some of us here this morning that are long, long overdue in expressing our thanks to God. And after all, that's what this season is about. Not just for one day, but to practice spiritually giving thanks to God in each and every season of life. In the gospel for today about birds of the air and wildflowers of the field, it's really about our anxiety and our worry. The word anxious appears at least 6 times in this lesson. It's a major theme. And Jesus asks several questions in the text. Worry and anxiety. I'd like to ask you to answer these questions yourself in your own mind as we go through. Can you add a single hour in the length of your life by worrying about it? Does God, our Heavenly Father, take care of the birds of the air? Does God, our Heavenly Father, take care of the wildflowers on the mountains? So Jesus asks you and me, is life not more than food and clothing? If then God cares for you, why do you and I worry so much? Well, nothing else to do with our free time, I guess. When is it the right time to be thankful? When is the right time to say thanks to God? It certainly is immediately after the wreck that didn't happen, right? It's certainly immediately while you're driving down the road and it's covered in ice, having chipped the car out last night from the ice storm that we had. Grateful to be home. It's certainly in the instant after you learn that the check didn't bounce, the letter broke your fall, or that the canoe didn't tip over with your baby in it while you were on the lake. When is the best time to say thank you to the Lord? To appreciate what God has given. Now, certainly there are worries in this world. There are certainly things that we tend to and take care of, and we build lives with care, infinite care. And yet, if we spend so much of our time worrying about the future that we cannot appreciate our present, what have we really got? In a way, it's wasted energy. And in a way, it's a wasted life. And surely God wants more for us than to waste our time and energy overmuch on worry. Now, it may seem strange to you that I would say this at a time when we're talking about stewardship and finished up with our campaign. It is a unique feature in the life of the church that even while we're raising money, we worry that we'll have enough. I have never been in a church that didn't have enough money. I've been in churches that didn't have enough imagination. I've been in churches that didn't have enough faith. I've been in churches that didn't have enough love. This is not one of them. I've been in churches that didn't have enough courage. We always have plenty of money to do what we believe is important. When is the best time to say thank you to the Lord for mending our marriages? For good news from the doctor? To be on the other side of surgery? When is it right to say thank you to God for a good day outside building a snowman with your kids, relaxing by a fire in your living room, or hiking or fishing the day and discovering God's grace is still rich and still full and still our own? I fear that we don't say thank you to God enough. I fear that my own life is not taking God seriously enough to say thank you to God in all circumstances, both good and bad. Oh, yes, there's the courteous nod to the big guy upstairs, the tip of the hat to the God of our creation. But if we might say thank you to God around the Thanksgiving table, it might be a start. It might be a genuine beginning to something deeper and higher and longer and more meaningful than what we currently do. Once a family was at the Thanksgiving table, and as was their practice, they asked the littlest, most capable person, now, you know, this would be a young boy or girl of 7 or 8, perhaps, to return thanks.
And he gave thanks for all the members of his family, his mother and his father, his sisters and grandparents and aunts and uncles, his cousins. He thanked God for each one of them. And then he started to give thanks for all that was on the table. And this I completely understand. The turkey, the potatoes, the gravy, the cranberry sauce, and oh yes, pumpkin pie. Although I am secretly longing that my mother makes a cherry pie, as she often does on Thanksgiving, because my dad doesn't like pumpkin pie. And I secretly do as well. But all of a sudden, the boy stopped. He paused. It was a rather long pause, long enough that people began to pop up their heads and open their eyes around the table, one by one. And then they heard the little boy ask his mother, or say to her, "If I thank God for the broccoli, God will know that I'm lying." Our challenge today is that we can say thank you to God for the broccoli moments of our life. And may I say, the gospel is full of challenge. Sometimes the gospel is really aggressive with us in our way of thinking, because God's ways are not our ways, and our ways are not God's. There are times that we feel pretty upbraided and straightened up and talked to by God in the gospel when presented by the pastor, because God's perspective can very often be different than our own. Don't be surprised if the gospel sounds aggressive. Don't be surprised if it is aggressive. Don't be surprised if it challenges you, because that's exactly what it's meant to do. Can we give thanks to God in our broccoli moments? Can we say thank you to God in the midst of our major disappointments? Can we thank God when we experience a significant loss, a major setback, a deep mourning? I hope we can. None of this is new. The ancient Roman statesman and philosopher Cicero said nearly 2,000 years ago, "Gratitude for many has become yet another should, ought, and must, and as such is just another form of manipulation." But he goes on to say that gratitude is instead not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all virtues. When we cultivate a spiritual practice of gratitude, friends, we are building a life for God and building our virtues for the rest of our days. I can say, without any reservation whatsoever, that gratitude is the necessary attitude. And as the French say, gratitude is the heart's memory. But it's not what we say about our blessings that matter, but how we use them as the true measure of our thanksgiving. But perhaps even more significantly, as Christian theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "Only when they who give thanks for little things can they receive the big things." Now think on that with me for just a moment. Only they who give thanks for little things receive the big things. We prevent God from giving us the great spiritual blessings he has in store for us because we do not give thanks for the daily gifts. If we cannot see the small things for which to be grateful, is it possible that we're able to see the large picture for gratitude? If we can't see the small blessings, the sun streaming in the morning, the deliciousness of breakfast, the taste and joy of family together, is it possible we'll miss the big things, stumbling over all of the things that get in our way? I think all of these things build to gratitude in us and in others. All of these things lead us on a path to a brighter life, a bigger life, a greater sense of appreciation. But I also think laughter has a way of opening us up. And so I'd like to end this morning with a poem by Garrison Keillor, who was part of a Prairie Home Companion until fairly recently and one of my favorite humorists. Who here knows who Garrison Keillor is? A radio humorist, just terrific. And he wrote new words to the song we're going to finish right now. And here are the words. "Now thank we all our God. We praise our bounteous God, who is not always serious, nor sends us long reports to trouble and to weary us. He sends us birds instead, and the sparrows and the wren, who fly in to be fed and lift the hearts of men. For music comedies, a great dramatic form that avoids subtleties and dances up a storm. And thanks for GPS and also for iPhones. They save us from distress as we're driving home. Now thank we all our God for landmarks and for beacons, who wondrous things hath done, especially on weekends. For comedy and fun, that we may not be bored, and that the election's done, for that we thank thee, Lord. Amen. How do you give thanks to God? How will you purposely, intentionally structure a moment this week with your family that they will hear you say thanks and that you will get to hear words of thanksgiving on their lips? Amen. Please rise as we sing our closing hymn. Now thank we all our God. May you let the light of Christ shine out from your heart to the world. May it be seen through clear glass examples, crystal clear, of how grateful you are for this life. Give God the praise, strengthen his love in your life, and let the light shine both in and out of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.